That's so interesting.
Ooh, that's interesting. Well, that is very interesting. Please tell me more.
Very interesting.
Marty, that was very interesting.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to That's So Interesting. It's the podcast where we discuss what we think are objectively interesting things. I'm Graham, and today we're going to be going into the whole relationship dynamics that exist today, what they looked like in the past, and sort of the social construction that we feel exists around relationships and what those look like. But as always, we have Brandon and Brian here with us today. Fellas, how are you doing?
I'm cold. How are you?
What's up? Today's a beautiful day. I had a snow day yesterday. Didn't have to go to work. Was amazing.
Yeah, pretty rare in Waterloo.
Very rare.
Brandon, how many snow days have you had in Edmonton?
Zero. That would be zero.
Sucks to suck.
Mr. Graham, the running man, that's a zero. A big fat zero.
Graham, did you go running yesterday?
Zero snow days. Zero.
No, I didn't go running.
Cold days.
What classifies as extreme cold in Alberta?
There's an extreme cold warning on right now, and we're at, like, we've been around minus 30, feels like minus 40 with the wind for, like, the last 10-ish days, I want to say.
That's beautiful.
Huh.
That's perfect weather for honestly, sleeping with your window open.
It's not.
It is.
How many mosquitoes have you encountered?
I love the cold. For a second? I love the cold.
It is so cold in my apartment that I have to sleep with a hood on, two comforters, sweatpants, and fuzzy socks.
While wrapping DMX.
I've never experienced anything like this in my life.
But here's my
I just hate being cold, Brandon, cold all the time.
But here's my theory.
Brandon, what does that do to your hair?
Oh, it messes it up big time, my man.
For anybody who doesn't know Brandon, he hates when his hair game is not on his typical style. If you touch his hair, he loses his shit. But the cold doesn't interact with his hair well. However, folks.
Yeah, so.
My theory with the cold is you can never put too much on to stay warm. But in the middle of the summer when it's like 40 degrees with the humidity, oh my Lanta, all you want to do is winter to come. Like you can't take your skin off.
Disagree.
Oh my god, I sweat though. You don't sweat as bad as me.
I do. I sweat. Look here, I'll give you this. So I was in Florida, humidity 100% in July, right?
How do you get to my car? 100% humidity. It's like taking
you've
a
never
shower.
Been in 100% humidity?
No, it's like taking a shower unless I'm in like a steam
That's
because
you've never been in Florida in July. Go to Florida in July 100% humidity.
Why would I ever go to Florida in July?
Get to my car. 44 degrees. 44 degrees. Okay? I would rather sit and wait for my air conditioning to kick in than I would sit in minus 40 and wait for the heat to come on.
No, I disagree.
Any day of the week.
I disagree.
I think we're an odd sample size, but Brandon's two against one, man. We're on team cold here. That's so interesting.
You know what?
I feel like
that's 66%. That's statistically
but you know,
significant.
I disagree.
That's true.
Here's the thing. You guys both grew up in Ontario, so you grew up with relatively
I grew up in California.
Winters.
Thank you.
Well, you spent the majority of your adolescence in Ontario.
Adolescence, yes.
Yeah. So you guys are more used to this kind of winter.
Okay.
Vancouver, you know, they get, oh, look at them right now. They get 5 inches of snow. The whole city shuts down.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
What I'm used to, you know?
Fair.
So I didn't adapt. Just a character flaw, I think, in me. But, you know, is what it is. We push on, push forward. And I just would like to not wake up crying. That's all I really want in this world, you know?
And speaking of waking up crying, let's talk about relationships. So, do you guys think, or how much do you care about your partner taking your last name or not?
Not at all.
Don't care.
And neither do I. Go ahead.
Which I want to go on a limb and say that we are in the...
We're pretty progressive,
folks. It's not a huge minority. I was trying to think about how we would describe this podcast to be kind of a very socially liberal podcast. Am I correct in saying that?
Unless it comes to our deviant behavior.
Okay. we've had this conversation before, not on the podcast, but kind of just dinner table conversations about the history behind taking your partner's name in marriage. And traditionally, it's the girl who takes the guy's name. But as we kind of move more into the 21st century, I guess we're starting to see it less and less. Well, I don't know. Are we seeing it less and less? Yeah, I think so, right? More people keeping their last name, more hyphenated names. People are even more making tongue twisters.
I'm a big fan of the hyphenation. As long as you don't have like six last names and the other person has six last names, like.
Well,
I was going to say, as long as it's still manageable.
Like if you're kids, so you guys hyphenate your last name. Your kids, I'm assuming, will take the hyphenated last name. They find someone and marry that person. Now we've got four names. You know, assuming they hyphenate as well. Hyphenate.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the impact of the hyphenation yet.
Yeah, I don't think we have either, but I feel like that's what's going to happen if people start to hyphenate. Don't get me wrong. I think the hyphenation, if both parties are in favor, is a good solution. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, traditionally it was the girl joining the guy's family, therefore she took his last name because she was becoming part of his family.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, today it's not really the case. Like today people are getting together and making their own family. So, you know, it doesn't really make sense for someone to lose their last name. You know, on that note, I wouldn't want to lose my last name. I love my last name. So how could I force anyone to give up theirs? So, I mean, yeah. I agree. I think the hyphenation is a good solution, but I don't know if it can stand the test of time.
Hmm.
Are you guys up or down on making your own last name?
What do you mean making our own?
Like blending new, to...
Yeah, like changing it to making a new name.
Like we're blending?
I'd consider it. I think that'd be so fun.
I mean, like, you would be like, I don't know, Graham, whatever new last name you want to pick.
Barzudo.
Barzudo.
I like Dudo.
Barzudo.
Dudo Bars.
Oh, Barzudo. Oh, you're jumping ahead here. You're assuming your partner already. Does she know this?
That's what we're...
Oh, whoa. I like this. This is
the
early.
Ring is coming the soon. The ring is coming tomorrow.
All right. Let's dial it back. Let's
he
dial
told
it
me
he's
making a big purchase.
I'll fly back for the get togethers.
For the get togethers. Okay. Let's bring it back in. Hybrid last names. Brian, you don't like them.
Hybrid? Oh, he does like them. Oh, hybrid, not hyphenated.
Hybrid, like, I don't mind them, but I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'd actually do it. I just think the idea is fun.
Oh, yeah, I think the idea is cool, and it, like, it takes the right people to do it, but, like, I don't think I'm that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your name, your last name has history tied to it, or do you feel like your family history is tied to the people in your family?
A little bit of both.
For example...
Both.
Okay.
Because, like, for example,
yeah,
my three great-grandfathers, he used to own a brewery in Owen Sound called Schwann's Brewery that got shut down, like, during Prohibition. But part of me is, like, passionate, or I relate to that because of my bloodline, but more so because it was also a shared last name. Right? So it's, like, easy to reference. You can experience it. It's almost like a piece of pride with the last name associated with it. You know what I mean?
Huh. What do you mean by a shared last name?
Like, it's the same last name as mine. So it's not like my last name is now Brock, but on my mom's side, you know what I mean? Like,
it's truly of his clan.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Do you feel like if you didn't have the same last name, like if your last name wasn't Schwan, that you wouldn't connect as well to that piece of history?
No, I feel like I personally would still connect, but like to help others understand the connection or like to explain it, it's a lot easier and more obvious when it's the same last name than trying to explain like, oh yeah, like my mom's maiden name and then this and then this and then right. this, right? Like, and I know that's totally like speaking from a point of privilege and all of that, but it's just something cool that I get to experience.
So let me ask you this. What if your last name was like Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would have that same effect? Because, you know, Schwan, Barnes, I guess, is a little bit more common. Brock, I think, is a little bit more common. But I've never met anybody else with the last name Schwan. So it's a little bit more, I don't know, unique. Whereas unique. Something that's more kind of common, like Smith, is there as much family history there? Because, you know, I'm sure there's a ton of Smith breweries or Smith things, but just because you share the last name doesn't necessarily mean it's yours. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. So apparently, this is allegedly, I haven't done my research on this. So like it could totally be fake news, but there is I'll call it a wise tale right now, that my last name has been shortened from like generation, like many, many generations from, sorry.
Tell me it was like Schwarzenegger.
No, I'm just Googling it right now. So, you know, I've told you, have I told you this before? The Disney castle, you know, like the, in Disney movies, the castle.
Yeah.
Cinderella's castle,
whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. So it's I'm trying to remember the name.
It's a castle in Germany called Neuschwanstein Castle.
Yeah.
And so it's allegedly is like my name, if we go back far enough in family heritage, that we would relate back to that family from Germany.
Ah, maybe you should put it to ancestry.com.
Yeah.
23andMe.
Yeah, you got to get the...
figure out what's going on.
The tongue swab.
Yeah, the tongue, the saliva
spit
sample.
Spit in the tube.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know my grandparents have been really good about keeping a record and kind of a written history of our families, like our own family's history on the Brock side. But I think that still exists, even if my last name isn't Brock. So, for instance, if I were to change my last name or create a new last name or hyphenate or whatever, I think, like, to me, I'm not tied to the history through my last name. I'm tied to the history through the relationships and through kind of other things rather than just the name.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, I mean, that's why, you know, I like the last name because it's what I'm used to and whatever, but I don't think it ties me to any particular family history. Like, I would be okay, not saying I would want this, but I would be open to the idea of creating a new name if that's what my partner was interested in doing.
Yeah. I think I would be open to the conversation too.
I don't know. It's interesting. I think that names hold a lot of power, not in like a, well, my family owned so-and-so lands and so-and-so, you know, people, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But just the name itself.
He literally just said nothing.
No, he said his family owns a lot of people.
Et cetera, et cetera, and so on and so on.
Yeah. but like the name itself is something that's pretty powerful, right? Like, if I found just even calling someone by their actual first name instead of like a nickname or like, hey man, like, how's it going? Like, you get real responses from people when you're able to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that applies to a last name too. And so I definitely value that last name component and, like, yeah, totally open to, like, hybridizing, like, that sort of thing in the future. But in terms of, I don't know, completely losing what represents my family and that heritage, and I think that's something I wouldn't be entirely open to.
Yeah. And that's, like, that's legit, right? At the end of the day, it comes down to everyone's conceptions of what family history means to them.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And where it stems from. So it's not like it needs to be a mandatory thing, but I can just see, I think, more and more individuals being more creative as it becomes less and less commonplace for both individuals to take one name kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that stuff. I mean, it's always interesting to me. It's always interesting to see what other people say. And not that, you know, not that there's any wrong answers or not that there's anything wrong with, you know, one person taking the other person's last name.
No.
I just think it's interesting that there's a noticeable trend in doing something different.
Mm-hmm. That's what life's kind of all about. Cool. Right now. Like, there's a huge trend in acceptance for, like, breaking barriers and norms without, like, a ton of repercussions.
Which I think is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes back to, we talked about in our Edge of the Bed advices, I believe. We brought up, you know, being okay and being open to change a couple times.
Yes.
Right? And that's just kind of, I think, one of those things that's going to be constantly happening at an even quicker rate as we progress.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in our lifetimes. So I think it's just something that everybody kind of has to be comfortable, or not be comfortable, but be cognizant and aware that these changes are happening, and that at the end of the day, it's about respecting everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't affect you, then it shouldn't really bother you.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Stay in your lane. Essentially. As my buddy LeVar Ball would say, stay in your lane.
Oh, did
you guys, speaking of respect, did you guys see that video on Instagram of the lady yelling at the kids on the New York subway or no. bus or whatever it was?
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Do you see the woman throwing stuff off her condo onto the gardener? It wasn't actually onto the gardener, but it looked like it in Toronto.
No.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, she just got arrested.
She got arrested, dude.
She got arrested. Wait, hold today.
On. Wait, wait. The gardener, as in the freeway, yeah. or as in her landscape?
No, as the garden.
No, freeway. Good clarification. Good clarification.
It's all allowed.
Yeah, this chick threw, like, a patio, like, balcony chair.
She threw more than
from
she
her
threw
balcony.
Two.
Oh.
Wait, but, as just, like, a normal wow. way of disposing of garbage? No, or was she.
She just
on,
no, she was like, tripping.
Google it. You have to Google it right now. It was crazy. And then she was smiling during when she walked out of jail today. She posted bail.
Like,
and she was like smiling and happy. I couldn't believe it.
Like, glad I got rid of that patio furniture.
She's like, look at me, I'm hot. Like, at least that's what it seems like.
Yeah, she's.
It kind of irritated me, guys.
Not portraying a good brand for social media influencers.
It reminded me a lot of that guy from the States who bought the Wu-Tang album and, like, had the. What was it? It was like the one medicine that he patented and his company owned, the Big Pharma bro.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
And he jacked the price up on it, so no one was able to afford it.
Yeah. But, like, it reminded me of his like gosh. Smugness.
For sure. Yeah.
Sorry, just watching this chair throw here. That's like a decent chair. Like, it looks like there's some cushion padding on that chair.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's definitely a folding chair, but like a high quality chair. You know, it's not one of those like silly IKEA chairs. Sorry.
Dialing back into the relationship stuff. Are you guys up and down on Valentine's Day and everything that it represents now?
I think I'm down on Valentine's Day. And
why?
Did we talk about Valentine's Day during our social norms part two. You may have. I hope I'm not contradicting myself, but
our listeners will be able to tell us that.
Okay. Yeah, part of the problem I have with Valentine's Day is the commercialization associated with Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because it's obviously affecting some people negatively in that I think you're seeing a lot of individuals kind of have anti-Valentine's Day movements. Out of the examples that I can think of, I'm thinking of like girls getting together and having their own kind of thing on Valentine's Day in support of each other because they're not in a relationship. And I feel like Valentine's Day puts a lot of pressure on people to be in relationships. And I don't know, looks down on individuals who aren't in relationships. And then for people who are in relationships, I think it puts a lot of pressure on them to do something kind of over the top and explicit. And unless you have a common understanding with your partner, which, you know, I don't think a lot of our peers do, usually that gesture involves a lot of money or involves extravagance or just things that I believe are unnecessary in needing to show your affection for somebody. So I'm down. I mean, I don't know if it does much good. I think if you're in a healthy relationship, you're celebrating your time together with your significant other in many ways all the time, you know, and if you're not, and you're just doing it on Valentine's Day, then I would question whether or not that's a healthy relationship.
Yeah, totally fair. I think for me, something that I feel like I would have mentioned in that sort of norms conversation about those specific days, like a Christmas or whatever, same with Valentine's, is I do appreciate it just from the sense that like it's ultimately a nice reminder to take a minute and step back and appreciate some of that stuff, because I totally agree, Brandon, it's an ideal to have it where you just sort of regularly and in your routine and lifestyle, you celebrate each other and love each other in meaningful ways to that partner. But sometimes that stuff can slide, and you don't have to compensate for that by buying something expensive for that person. But if you can just dedicate some time to really appreciate them and spend some time with them and do something meaningful for both of you, then it might not be the worst thing in the world. I think it depends how you spin it.
I don't know. I agree with both of you. That like it's...
Well, Brian...
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about your common sort of Valentine's Day date or situation with Shannon. Do you want to share that? I think that's like a great example of some great Valentine's Day planning.
Yeah, we're not doing it this year. It's sad. So sad.
Oh, awkward.
But
okay.
Literally what we did every year for like 5-6 years. And I think it was six. No. We've only been dating for 5.5 years, so it can't be 6. Like 4 years in a row was go to the local barbecue place in Newmarket. Shout out to Big Bone. And literally just like stuff our faces with smoked meat and ribs and wings. And had the food come in, would go back home. And that's kind of it. Like, we typically don't do presents in any way, shape, or form. It's just more like this is a night, or in and around that day is there to just like have a night one-on-one, no phones, like no other people, kind of just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think especially this time of year, like everybody gets on and cranky about Valentine's Day, but I think it's a perfect day of the year to kind of sit back and reflect on it, because people have the winter blues. Christmas was just over. Like, you're busy at work. Like, work starts to pick up again around this time of year. And it's off. Like, you can often lose sight of your relationships. And so it's almost like to reground yourself in an interesting way. But, like, I don't think that has to be in a know, spectacle or extravagant fashion. It just, you just have to make time and be conscious of it. And then also communicate what your expectations are is the most important piece. Because that's when you have bad experiences, as opposed to you're like, I'm expecting a ring and he's expecting to take me to barbecue. Like, this is not going to work. Someone's going to be upset and I don't know who.
any particular reason why you picked that restaurant, or just big bone on Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, it refers to, I'm just kidding. it literally was because, like, it was one of our favorite spots in Newmarket to go for food. It was family owned and it was the first year that we did it. It also was like not crowded in any way, shape or form, because who's going for a barbecue?
You, like, guys are.
We are.
I think what you mentioned about the communication piece, I think that's so huge. Communicating your expectations about what you expect and what you are comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm down on it because, and again, I don't have empirical statistics. I don't know the numbers, but you always hear about, you know, the most relationships end prior to Valentine's Day. I'm just down on the pressure, and I'm down on the societal expectations, and I'm down on the norms. And, you know, I think the three of us are fortunate enough to be in situations where we're comfortable having those types of conversations with our partners. But I hate that some people aren't in situations like that, and it puts a lot of pressure on them to try and do something special.
But I feel like it's like
vice versa.
The majority of it is like, we always blame it on the media, but like, I really have to blame it on like marketing and big corporations. Because
yeah, like, that's what I mean. I don't like the commercialization.
You don't like, but it's not even that. Like, I think outside the commercialization, the expectations that it sets are where people get disappointed. But most people don't celebrate it that way. most people can't afford to celebrate in the way that it's advertised. And so people get down based off of like not meeting that outward expectation. But like, I would say, I don't know, what do you think, an 80% range of Canadians wouldn't celebrate Valentine's Day the way that it's expressed through social media or through advertising?
I would bet that number is actually higher.
I was gonna say higher, but I didn't want to be ballsy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I think you're right. I think the media portrays, you know, the ideal, or I shouldn't say the ideal, but the media portrays
their preferred ideal.
Right, that
makes consumerism, capitalism.
Yeah, buy our show.
And, you know, you have these beautiful people looking really, really happy. And as with marketing, you know, it says you want this life. And you see it enough times, people are like, yeah, I actually kind of do want that life. And I think you're right. I think when those things can't be delivered upon for a lot of reasons, people get upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't say upset, but, you know, frustrated or down or disappointed or you're right. Their expectations having not been met, they're kind of worse off for it. Mm-hmm. So it's just an unfortunate situation. You know, that said, like, I'm calling Christina tomorrow and we're going to have a pizza date on Valentine's Day, because that's just what.
What about if I call her first?
You decided we want to do. I mean, yeah, as long as you're not, you know, taking up our allocated time, we got busy schedules. So.
Squeeze you into their 2 o'clock.
You know, but I think you're right. I think Graham, you brought up a good point as well. Like, it's just about a reminder to take the time to refocus and say, hey, you know, I'm going to take a break from the other things in my life and focus on this for a second. But it doesn't need to be in a crazy way kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
On the topic, this is going to be a big question. And it's ironic because we're all in relationships. But on the topic of consumerism and media dictating how we think we should live our lives, do you think relationships are like that in some way, in that we see them in movies and we see them in commercials and TV ads and the amount of things that are targeted towards couples and creating ideals around what relationships should be. Do you think there's a big influence from media and marketing and businesses and consumerism on the way that you go about your own relationships?
As opposed to like other socialization agents, like family and friends and that sort of thing?
Sure.
I think it definitely I'll give it more credit. It definitely plays a role. I was going to say small role, and I'll upgrade it just to role. and that's because I think a lot of that is so insidious in a way where we don't even necessarily realize it, mm-hmm. but it's there,
yeah.
You know, setting expectations, marketing to, you know, sort of hidden desires, everything like that, latent demand, all that jazz. And so,
oh, latent demand.
Oh yeah, you betcha. You don't even know you want it, and bam, there's a chocolate in the shape of it. You know, it's just like that sort of thing. So
yeah.
I think it's really challenging to navigate like what is a healthy example in terms of like, oh, did you know, you just see a loving couple that you're friends with, or your parents, or a sort of role model that you look up to, do this in a genuine way, or is this like a fabricated media publicized thing that is really just selling sports bras or something? Like, I don't know, but you know, it's I think it's tough to truly pick out what's genuine and what you can confidently rely on and believe in when it comes to relationships and couples, because there's so much random pressure from so many different sources, right?
Yeah, you're right. It is one of those things, like, how do we know how relationships are truly conceptualized? Like, what elements of our lives are truly affecting the way that we do things? Because you're right, mm-hmm. there's so many influences and it's impossible to tell. You know, yeah, but I know
exactly.
Like, gift giving, for example.
Yeah.
You know, I think gift giving has been around for millenniums. In terms of trading or just giving things to show appreciation. But I think commercialism and society and social norms has kind of driven up the expectation for what a gift really is. Right? I think, Brian, you mentioned it a couple podcasts ago about writing cards, writing people thank you cards.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
Thank you for your honesty.
Book club later, but anyways, like, that's an example of a fantastic gift, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very little monetary value, you know, maybe $4.50 for the card at Hallmark, but other than that,
price is light, right? Brandon Brock, come on down.
But I mean, it's the time and effort and care that you put into that gift. And I think that's kind of gone by the wayside. We don't make those kind of gifts regularly enough. And I think they send the exact same message, if not a more meaningful message, right? Instead, we've been socialized to giving material goods, right? Or a lot of our relationships are defined by material things. Like Christina and I, we have a big thing where we want to get each other matching things. Right. Well, I mean, that's 100% commercialism, right? Like, we were sold this idea that, you know, it's, you know, cute for couples to wear matching sweaters or whatever. Right. So we
do. What about matching haircuts?
I haven't seen too much of that in the media, so we're not there yet.
You should do it. You should trendset, patent it.
Be the media.
Who would take whose haircut? Who would look better with whose haircut? Christina with mine or mine with Christina's?
I'm not answering.
I think Christina with yours.
Christina with mine. I
plead the fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more acceptable nowadays for girls to have short hair and kind of like a pixie cut.
Yeah.
I think it's very much less socially acceptable for guys to have long hair.
Really?
Oh, I mean, if you, I don't know. I don't know.
You do you?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just like, it's less commonplace for guys to have long hair. I feel like it's more common nowadays for girls to have shorter hair.
I would have said it's about even. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that too much. I was just picturing with you, And my rationale for breaking down Christine with short hair or you with long hair is if you had long hair and like let the facial hair grow a little bit, it looks like you'd be ready for some deviant leisure and you'd smoke a doobie or something. Oh.
Except I can't grow facial hair. So
but you can smoke a doobie.
That's legal.
One of those two things is possible, Brandon.
I think it's more likely for me to grow a full beard before I ever smoked anything.
Mm-hmm.
I would put money on that. I would put serious money on that.
Yeah.
Now my mind's just wandering to try to find some way to get you to smoke some.
Anyways, you get my point about commercialization and relationships.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. And some of it, like, yeah, like you said, with the purchasing matching clothes and that sort of thing, that's something that you two share and enjoy. Like, you know, I'm going to get some Valentine's chocolate at some point. I love chocolate. It's tasty. Maybe I wait till after Valentine's and get it on a sweet discount, but I'm going to have it.
Yeah. I was just saying, do you want actual Valentine's Day chocolate? Like the heart shaped box full of chocolates, full of the rando chocolates?
Oh, were we talking about this? Do you hate those boxes?
Yeah, I feel like you're playing roulette.
Lowest quality.
Terrible chocolates.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Like, you think about the margins they're making on these things. People are not buying those boxes of chocolate for quality chocolate.
No.
They could put anything in there and it would sell just as well.
Yeah.
That's I think it depends on the brand still.
Absolutely.
Someone anything will pay more
Valentine's Day specific
for a,
and you can't see
there's going to be a markup yeah.
of what it is, then I'm skeptical.
Well, okay, yeah, but if you can say that about anything. If you can't see what it is,
well, but
and I mean, you can't like, tell by the brand, then.
But I mean, in order to tell what same. Flavors of chocolate are in that box of chocolates, you have to open it up and look at the info card and then guess which ones they're talking about. You know,
yeah, just like a Valentine's Birdie Day Bots every flavor beans. That's okay. I like Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, but you know what you're getting with a Ferrero Rocher because it says on the outside what the flavor is.
I also like Birdie Bots every flavored beans.
Is that a Harry Potter reference?
Yes.
Yes. No.
I'm happy. You can never be quite sure. Yeah. You're never quite sure with this. Anyway, I completely get your point.
You could get the toothpaste one and nobody really wants that.
Minty fresh. Yeah, I'm being difficult. I totally agree that there's definitely a lot that's put in just to the marketing and just for the sake of the day. And yeah. Will I get some cheap chocolates on sale? 100p.
I mean, I hope you do. That's just a good deal. You know, like that's just 50% off at Zares. I mean, that's just smart spending, in my opinion.
Can't afford not to.
Can't afford not to. You're absolutely right. And, I mean, you're running enough that it doesn't really matter, but the cow's in.
Cow's in.
I should be running a bit more. Yeah, you just have to zero it by the fiscal, right, Brian?
Absolutely.
Fiscal or quarterly?
Fiscal. Cow's in, cow's out over the whole year.
What are you looking for there? Are you looking for a zero or are you looking for a negative? Are you looking for a pause?
Hopefully you're negative. That way you lose some weight.
Oh, it's bulking season. It's always bulking season.
Well, when does fiscal end? Is it not December?
The fiscal end? It depends on the company. Yeah. There's sure. no like...
So it could be either bulking or cutting.
Yeah, most people run their fiscal. Actually, it depends. Sales normally run their fiscal January to December. Most sales companies are like, you know, where that's the core of their business. And then most kind of mm-hmm. operations will go May to April.
Do you think sales ends with the last month being the holiday bump for a reason?
Yeah, so it's two reasons. One is because most companies are coming into their last quarter. And so they don't really want to spend money, right? That's the time that they save. And consumers don't want to spend as much money either. And then the second is the sales that they do make, anything that's kind of over, they will save until January, right? So if they hit their sales goal for the like December or for the third quarter. They'll save some and not actually ring them in until the fourth quarter, so that it'll boost their last quarter sales. That's normally slower for them.
So it's too
Brian, fun. You're no fun when you know the answer.
I know.
Business Talks with Brian Schwan. No. Should be a new segment. 60 seconds of Business Talk with Brian.
I don't like it.
People can learn a lot from you.
There's a lot of pressure.
He's getting too many segments.
We haven't even touched on the book.
Right, what are the segments does he have?
We got the
oh, his book club.
How's Brian's book club corner.
How's your book club doing? You read any books this week?
Yeah. I'm almost done my next one, which is...
What do you have on the go?
Yo, guys, this book that I'm reading was written in 1936. I think that.
Agatha Christie?
I think that's right. Anyways, I might have just totally lied to you. Nope, I was... Wow, I'm so smart. October 1936. Freaking right. Reading's doing me well.
That's a temperate time in political history.
Ready? The title is How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Wow. Is that relevant today?
Absolutely.
How to win friends.
And really what it means is like, how can you be a, like it was written ahead of its time. So it's not really referring to like taking advantage of people to win them over. It's more like, how can you make friends and like genuinely build their trust and like have a genuine relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
So like it was in the right time period, but Hitler never read it. Is that what we're saying?
You know what? 36, like Hitler was already, he was going.
Well, he wasn't full on.
No, but like.
I mean, he was going.
Let's be serious. A book.
But he wasn't
full on. He was elected into office going.
When you have.
Yeah, but I mean.
How many countries tell him what he was doing was wrong and he still didn't listen? Like, he was going. No book was. No.
Well, because he didn't read the book and didn't know how to make friends.
No, 200. No, that's the opposite, though. He made too many friends, just the wrong friends.
Interesting.
Your country doesn't go to war for you if you don't have any friends.
I mean, my assumption was the country went to war for him because they were fearing death, but
no, but like
that's another.
They like a lot of people in Germany like fully believed in what he was doing, like and thought it was right.
Yeah, a lot of people. I wouldn't go as far as saying it was the majority of people.
I don't know. I'm not a huge history buff to be able to say if it was
a political history below 50%. With Brian Schwan.
Yeah, I don't know if these are the sorts of relationships that everyone was expecting us to talk about. No, so.
But anyways, it's good. It's good.
We'll just steer on back to Sesame Street and go on.
I would recommend anybody who is in like a management position or looking for a management position or even just like looking to create more effective relationships to give it a read. My favorite part of it so far is there's a full chapter on not condemning or like criticizing or like openly being destructive of other people and their thoughts, their feelings, or even just who they are as a person. And instead, like either give them compliments for what they're good at or just don't say anything at all, because people will respect you and give you more time a day if they know you're not just going to nitpick every single mistake or like small mistakes that you make. So that was kind of interesting because I hadn't really thought about
that
it like
still
that.
Still relevant.
Super relevant.
For today.
I feel like it's one of those books like managing people will never really change. How people want to be managed or what they value will change. As we've seen now, like it's not necessarily about pensions anymore, whereas that's what it used to be for our parents and our parents' parents' generation. But like they still value various aspects of their job, such as benefits or flexibility. Work perks aren't as big anymore.
Where do you fall on or in the conversation of managing people versus leading people? Do you think they're
that's such a good question.
Do you think they're mutually exclusive? Do you think there's a time for both? Do you think it's just English semantics and that it doesn't really matter?
I think it depends on who you talk to.
What about you?
See, I think leading, like, are you saying like leadership and management or like being a leader and a manager?
Well, you said the book was good for anybody managing people.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think those are both subjective terms. And maybe Graham wants to weigh in. I know he wants to go back to the relationship talk, but I feel like we're on a roll here, so we're going to keep going.
I think they're
different. No, all good.
I think they're not very different, but they're different enough. Think,
right, and
one of the past books that I read, it said leadership or leading or being a leader means influence, which has kind of stuck with me a little bit in my head. Managing, like, you need, the line that I always use is like, there's a difference between being a boss and a manager. And I think there's a difference between being a leader and a manager, but it's so hard. Like, management is, to be honest with you, this is stumping.
I think that there is overlap to both of, to those roles, just in the sense that if you consider a leader, they have to make management style decisions, I think, at some point. And obviously the challenge that we run into is how exactly you define management versus leadership style decisions. But I would roughly define it how I picture it as looking at a specific situation and making a decision for a specific outcome. And I think good leaders can make good management decisions. They don't have to be good leaders because there's so many other elements of leadership. But I think a lot of influential leaders, through history, have made impactful management decisions when organizing groups of people or different ideas or thoughts or even pieces of art, everything like that. So it's not so much about, for me, about arguing the semantics over if and how they overlap, but just acknowledging that they do, mm-hmm. and then looking at how they interact.
Yeah. Can I jump on that, Graham? I feel like management decisions, just to talk more about your management decisions versus leadership decisions. To me, when I hear management decisions, I feel like they are decisions that affect the organization. So whatever that might be, whether it's restructuring, hiring, firing, whatever, but they're decisions that are primarily with the organization in mind or the institution in mind. Whereas leadership decisions to me are primarily focused on the people, the individuals, and making decisions to, work with them in a different way or empower or provide opportunity or XYZ, but it revolves the intent of the decision and the reasoning for the decision or the action is people and the employees rather than the organization, if that makes sense. Now, those leadership decisions could have an indirect effect on the organization, but I think those are kind of done in different ways.
Yeah, I struggle with it because it all depends on the person and their outlook and also the people around you. I think a good manager has to make the difficult calls, have difficult conversations, and may make unpopular choices. And yes, that's leading in a good way. That is inherently what a good leader does. But also at the same time, you need to have the right people around you in order to be a good manager and produce the right results, if that makes sense.
Right. And I would say in order to get those good people around you, you need to lead them to be better.
Yes.
But again, I think you made a good point. It's all they're very subjective concepts. And you're right. It does depend on who you're talking to and what their interpretation of those concepts are.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about in class today about the vagueness of the word happy and how happy means one thing to me and it means another thing to you and it means another thing to you. They're just difficult to describe and difficult to define. But I think everybody has their own kind of conception of what those terms mean, whether we're able to kind of verbalize them or not, which I just kind of think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
That is so interesting. We could have a full podcast on this.
I mean, you could have a full podcast on it.
You could have many.
Many episodes.
Yeah.
Many seasons. Could bring on different people. Talk about things that they find interesting in their lives.
I like it.
Any other thoughts on relationships?
Brian has a tattoo on his butt cheek.
Thank you. Yes, it is accurate. It is
which
accurate.
Which came from a relationship, a friendship of people.
That's accurate as well.
Very symbolic in itself.
I like it.
Okay, well, if well, you want to keep talking about butt tattoos or what do you want?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, if you enjoyed our conversation today, I would encourage you to open one of these lines of conversation with somebody in your lives and talk about these ideas and concepts and topics. And again, I don't think there's any right answers to anything, but I think it's important for us anyways in our society to kind of explore these topics and understand where different people are coming from and understand different people's perspectives on things and to not make assumptions about the way that certain people are. If you also enjoyed this, feel free to share with any of your friends or family or anybody you might think is interested. We're always welcoming new listeners. And of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, obscene gestures, feel free to email us at thatsointerestingpod@gmail.com or you can get in touch with us on Instagram at TSI Podcast. Gentlemen.
Sayonara.
Thanks for having me.
Get out there and play
games. Even when it's cold, get out there and play.